Did Apple and other companies take advantage of illegal tax arrangements? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The European Union is reportedly set to take Apple and Ireland to task for what regulators see as a sweetheart tax deal for the Silicon Valley giant. BBC business reporter Theo Leggett is following this from London. Good morning, Theo.
Morning, David.
So Apple and other companies, Starbucks, Fiat, have come under scrutiny in the past over international tax practices. What are we hearing about this from the European Commission?
Ireland allowed Apple to take advantage of a sweetheart deal where it paid low tax on profits channeled through subsidiaries based in Cork, and Apple was able to make a lot of money without paying a lot of tax on it. But its allegation is that because this tax break wasn't offered to other companies, it counts as illegal state aid.
Are the companies involved, especially Apple, saying anything yet about this?
Not on the record, no, although we understand that behind the scenes there's been a great deal of manoeuvring. One of Apple's executives did give an interview to the British newspaper The Financial Times in which he said there's never been any special deal, there's never been anything that would be construed as state aid. Now, of course, you can make judgments about this, but on pure legal grounds, what the European Commission is looking at is whether what Apple was paying was fair when compared with what other companies in an equivalent situation would be paying in Ireland.
The BBC's Theo Leggett in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
You think of the ATM as a way to get money, but a new study shows that increasingly it is the other way around. Bankrate.com did the survey. Sally Herships has more on why the fees are up.
Using the ATM can be convenient, and that's part of the problem. That's according to Bert Ely, a banking industry consultant.
First of all, ATM machines are getting more sophisticated.
Ely says maintaining and upgrading ATMs to handle fancy new features like video tellers cost banks a lot of money, and low interest rates have kept profits down.
So they look elsewhere for income.
Like to out-of-network ATM fees. Bankrate study and data from other research shows the average out-of-network fees are up between 2.5% and 5% over last year. But at least your bank isn't charging you. It's charging customers from other banks who use its ATMs. Jim Miller is with J.D. Power.
The reality is it's better for them to charge other banks' customers than their own more.
Miller says unlike with overdraft fees, at least using another bank's ATM is a choice, even if it's sometimes an expensive one. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Another story we're following on Marketplace, a legal challenge to the government's bailout of insurance giant AIG is set to begin today. Former AIG chief Hank Greenberg has hired the noted lawyer David Boies of US v. Microsoft and Bush v. Gore fame to argue that the government strong-armed AIG, cheating shareholders and Greenberg himself during the 2008 financial crisis. If you miss our coverage on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. On this program, we like to keep an eye on the business of art. Today, an update on the art of the steal. Over the past few years, there have been a number of legal spats between artists accusing other artists of swiping their concept. Richard Prince or the late David Smith come to mind. Stealing art is legally okay, except when it is not. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports on how that vagueness is a thorn in the side of the expensive art market.
At the Jeff Koons retrospective at the Whitney Museum of Art, there's a colorful sculpture of a couple holding a string of eight puppies.
Eight blue adorable puppies, yes.
Andrew Gildon is a teaching fellow at Stanford Law School. One would not normally tour an art exhibit with a lawyer, but
this gallery is a time capsule for copyright law.
Back in 1992, Koons was sued over these puppies, which he'd based on someone else's work, an image on a postcard. Koons was trying to comment on the banality of the images we see every day.
Koons lost, and the court hated his art.
Amy Adler is professor of law at NYU. Fast forward to 2006, Koons was sued yet again over using another artist's work, this time in a collage, but he won. What changed?
The law changed.
The Supreme Court intervened in 1994 to say it's okay to copy art if
the new work was transformative, with new meaning or message.
Does the new art use the old art as a raw material for something new? That, argues Gildon, has created a problem.
This shift in fair use has predominantly protected big-name defendants who appropriate from small-name artists.
He says in most visual art copyright cases in the past 10 years, the wealthier, more famous artist has won. They've won whether they copied others or others copied them. Gildan says it's because courts, like people, think of famous and non-famous art differently.
We have a hard time thinking of prominent artistic works as being raw, as being the building blocks for something better.
William Fisher teaches intellectual property law at Harvard. He offers another explanation. Famous artists' deep pockets make them targets. But
other features of copyright law do, unfortunately, bias the system.
Litigation is expensive. Penalties can be immense. Artists with less money or fame may give up or not bother fighting at all. But copyright cases are also very unpredictable. Interpretation of the law, like art, is subjective. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And the huge investment company PIMCO is trying to calm customers after its founder's acrimonious exit on Friday. Some experts forecast clients might take away as much as 30% of PIMCO's assets now that Bill Gross, the king of bonds, is going to a rival. Stock in Gross's new employer, Janus Capital, went up 43% Friday, but it's down about 1.5% in pre-market trading today. PIMCO insists that the, quote, majority of its customers are sticking around. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.